Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to U.S. National Elections 2020. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We are blessed to have in the studio an exciting candidate that is running for the U.S. Senate, challenging Cory Booker out of New Jersey. Ms. Tricia Flanagan, welcome into the studio. How are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. It's such a pleasure to be with you, Chauncey.
It's a pleasure to be with you also. You are an exciting individual. I've been watching you over some time now in New Jersey, and you've been really taking Cory Booker on to task. Before we get into that, can you share with the American people a little bit about who Tricia Flanagan is and, you know, what do you want to do for our country?
Sure. I'm glad to, and thanks for the opportunity. As you know, we've been discussing how this is a U.S. Senate seat, so I'm really ready to utilize that Senate seat as it should be. And what I mean by that is that's really the point at which the overarching Constitution meets the 10th Amendment of states' rights. And I think there are very few senators who really are ready and were bold enough to be able to stand up on our Constitution and be able to work in that gap and make their own state better, but also reach across America to make, make what I call a MAGA majority work for the entire country. In terms of my background and how I landed here, I'm sort of an unexpected politician. I didn't really intend to be here, but my background is in healthcare. I began my career in oncology research, and I was working on developing the first-generation immunobiologic for cancer treatment. And from there, I went to work in corporate America. I worked all over the world, and then I went into my own consultancy. And I worked at this juncture of healthcare policy, healthcare innovation, technology, as well as government healthcare reform when the Affordable Care Act came out. And I saw over and again how not only that healthcare policy was damaging our country, it was damaging the healthcare of America, it was adding a tax, and then being a resident of one of the highest tax states in the country, in New Jersey, I have three kids, I'm a mother, I have to pay the bills, I have to pay the taxes, and I saw how congressional policies are failing our country, they're failing our state, and I really looked at my experience and where I could do the best job in serving my country. I come from a military family. My father served his entire career in the U.S. Navy, and I was taught enough that there was nothing more important than serving God, your family, of course, and your country, and this is my way to get involved and to make a difference, and my policies I'm developing, I hope, will do that.
That is awesome. Like I said in the beginning, you're a very exciting candidate coming out of New Jersey. New Jersey is going to be very happy to hear more about you as time goes on. What do you think about the current state of the United States under the Trump administration? Can you briefly give me some pros and cons or roughly where our country is going? I know you said you want to help move it forward. What are some of the issues within that dynamic that you'd like to assist or talk about of the direction our country moving in as well?
Right. Well, I've developed a 5-point platform, but by no means does that encapsulate everything that needs to be done. But to answer your question first about President Trump's administration, I think under President Trump's leadership, we have made huge strides over where we were under the last administration. And when we look at just the economic snapshot alone, lowest unemployment for a number of segments overall, we're I think the lowest in 49 years. Women, minorities, you name it. Look at any segment you want, and we're doing better economically as a country, as individuals. I fully embraced President Trump's tax plan, and you know, not to unpack and get into too much of the detail, but you know, the states, New Jersey specifically, but there are a couple of other states in our country that have the SALT tax. And when we were looking at deductions and how some of the deductions were wiped out by President Trump's tax plan, but I think we saw, and any CPA listening can chime in and tell me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that President Trump did that doesn't get a lot of play is he obliterated the AMT. And in many cases in states like New Jersey, when you had the AMT previously, it actually wiped out any of your deductions. So right there, when we look at things in a microscope individually, there may be issues. But when you roll it up to the whole, President Trump has his policies have benefited every state in our country. But do we need to do more? We absolutely need to do more. And that's part of the reason that I say what we need is, I call it a MAGA majority in the U.S. Senate. What that really is a filibuster proof in the U.S. Senate. We see what's happening when we're teetering on the edge, when any legislation has to come up for a vote. We need to pass America's agenda in Congress. President Trump is doing a great job in his leadership role, but he can't do it without a Congress that's going to help him. So obviously we need to bring back the House. We also need to get, again, what I call a MAGA majority in the U.S. Senate. When we do that, when we get this seat, when we claim this seat in previously thought liberal New Jersey, when we claim it for a MAGA majority, we'll not only give the Democrat stronghold a big lie, but we'll help America's agenda move forward, and that's where all America will win.
Okay, sounds like you're a big-time supporter of President Trump's agenda, and you sound committed to continuing with his policies that have, brought extreme historic economic growth. His numbers are off the charts as far as unemployment, home ownership. I mean, we can go on and on. It's unbelievable. And I think one of the reasons that you mentioned as well is his regulations. He lifted a lot of regulations on corporations that was able to expand how they reinvest back into America. I just want to digress or move to the side for a second to talk about an issue that is very, very sensitive to the American people on both sides of the aisle, yet Congress has failed to put policies in place to address the massive influx of immigrations. What do you think about the immigration issue? And also, do you have any ideas that you can lend to the administration along with what they're doing to try to bring about immigration reform?
Mm-hmm. That's a critical question, especially given the fact that over 1,000 illegal border crossers have just come into our country over the last couple of days. This is one of my key and critical platform points. And my immigration reform support for President Trump is multifaceted. So to start with, I think that, you know, the border wall, for example, is an example of something we need to do for national security. Border patrol statistics show us time and again that unvetted border crossers are responsible for tremendous amounts of crime in our country. We can look at anecdotal instances like, everything from the horrific murders across state lines to there was a big roundup in New Jersey of illegal immigrants who had come to our state because we are a sanctuary state, something I'm ready to push back on. But the bottom line there is these are criminals who had prior records who, because they were unvetted, because they were sneaking across the border, were not identified. It's a national security issue and it's a community safety issue. So number one, I'm for fully funding and for building and fully funding the wall, and obviously those are two different things. And that's another area where President Trump needs a supportive Congress to get that money to get that wall finished. So then beyond that, we have to look at immigration as a whole. And everything from, remanding the family immigration, the chain immigration, I'm for fully stopping that aspect of immigration. We do need merit-based immigration. Look, we love immigrants. I come from a family. Half of my family is from Sweden. But we want legal immigration. And I will tell you that the New Jersey voters that I speak to who are legal immigrants who make up the rich fabric of both New Jersey as a state and our country as a whole, they are some of the staunchest supporters of strict enforcement of stopping illegal immigration because they did it the right way. They're teaching their children the right way, as we all are. Is there anyone listening who would tell their children to cut in line, who would do something illegal, who want to reward those who cheat the system? Of course not. We want to set a better example, and we want to make our borders secure and strong. And part of that is, again, ending the chain migration process and focusing on merit-based immigration, but also abolishing the visa lottery and putting together an entire comprehensive package that not only makes our country safe, but also deters the illegal immigration that we're seeing across that porous southern border.
If we if you don't mind, let's move globally for a moment to us doing military movements. What do you think about the military movements currently in the Mediterranean Sea? Do you have any perspective on that at this time?
I mean, I do. You know, I think that when we look at the leader, the leadership by strength, I'm in full favor of that, and that's what President Trump brought to the table. How many red lines were crossed by the Obama administration and turned a blind eye? And I think that that's how we ended up with this cauldron of activity that we have to address now. So the bottom line is, while I'm a huge fan of peace and security through strength, I also think we don't need to, overly engage and commit our troops. So when we look at what's necessary, I think it's important to look at, in a triage situation, where we are needed the most and where America's interests are going to be served the most overseas. Now, we obviously always want to give support and protection for our allies, but they're allies for a reason. It's because we're in a community, joint cause. And when we look at the issues underlying any military intervention, I think we have to look at how it's going to serve the world cause, primarily how it's going to serve America's cause, but also we want to make sure that we fight that fight there before it comes to our shores. That's a national security perspective as well. I do believe that John Bolton and Secretary Pompeo have our world leadership in that segment in great hands, and I think it's a nod to President Trump's vision in terms of how he those two individuals. But I think that security has to be most important, for America as well as our allies across the board.
For those who are listening in, the U.S. National Elections 2020, our guest on our show today is U.S. Senate candidate from New Jersey, Tricia Flanagan. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're going to come back to the country for a minute. We took a stand somewhere on your position because that is transpiring right now, is the movement in the Gulf and the Middle East. Do you have any particular things yourself outside of identifying the mega majority to move the country forward in the policies and help push forward the policies that President Trump is doing? Do you have any special things that you would like to do that might be outside the box that you might want to introduce to the people that's outside of the mainstream of discussion that could be a pet peeve of yours that interests you if you become a senator that you would like to move forward?
I do. I have two initiatives I think that would fall into those categories. The first thing I'll start with is healthcare, and I'll elaborate on that a little bit because that is where my 25 years of experience I think can be most useful at the U.S. Senate level. When we look at what happened with the failed replacement of Obamacare a couple of years ago, we see that that's all the more reason we need a strong MAGA majority in the Senate because the replacement for Obamacare failed by one vote in the U.S. Senate. We see how thin that margin is. But equally important to getting the numbers is having the right platform and policy there. And so what I'm proposing is very different, I think, than any of the other plans that have come to the table. And in that, I'm looking at complete healthcare reform and what I call kind of going direct to the doctor. Physicians love my plan. Patients love my plan. The only people that hate it are the insurance lobbies. And I want to add, I don't take any money from lobbyists, and so I'm truly a voice for we the people. But what we need to do when we tackle this healthcare issue is we need to decrease the premium, because right now I talk to people who have to make a choice between their mortgage and their healthcare premium. That should not happen. And then above and beyond the premium, when they go to utilize their health care, they can't afford that because the deductibles are so high. So my premiums, they decrease payments by, in some cases, a third to a half. I've seen even more than a half when I run the numbers for some folks. There's usually no deductible. In some cases, there is. It depends. Diabetic care, for one example, has a bit of a deductible. Some chronic ailments have deductibles, but nothing near, nothing even close to the deductibles that we're seeing now. And it, my plan also increases access to quality care and innovative treatment. And those are different things as well, because let's look at Medicaid for All. Well, that sounds great on its face in terms of how what it will cost the patient, the recipient, but the taxes, you know, our taxes are obviously going to increase, and forget about any innovative care. God forbid anyone gets sick and needs to utilize some of the cancer treatments that I spent time in my early career developing. They're not even in the plan. Right now, even under certain insurance policies, two rounds of chemotherapy before any of these innovative treatments are even considered. And that's just not acceptable, because American healthcare should be about access, affordability, and access to the treatment that America develops. So the next logical question is, well, then how is that paid for? Well, I utilize the space, the gap between payer, which is the patient, and where that healthcare is delivered. So right now, your payment goes to an insurance carrier, and then they control your healthcare. Well, I find that as an American particularly offensive, that a third party is in charge of my healthcare dollars and decisions. I have a number of relationships that I've formed over my decades in healthcare, direct to distributors, if you will, pharmaceutical companies even, who are willing to work with a program, with something that will replace the Affordable Care Act and cut the margins, I mean, pennies on the dollar for these types of treatments. I also utilize the largest growing sector of physicians, which is the concierge physician sector. These are physicians that, again, cut out the middle person of the insurance carrier. And we know it's even made the headlines in the news about how different the cost is when someone is direct billed versus paying through a bloated bureaucracy of healthcare insurance carriers. So it's the streamlined process. The margin that I cut does not cut into the margin of quality or innovation or what's delivered to the patient. It cuts into that bloated budget that right now is going to the fat cats in the insurance industry. And I'm bold enough and brave enough, and I know enough about this industry. I know where they keep the money, and I know how to navigate this. And that's the kind of leadership and innovation we're going to need in that U.S. Senate position to make sure that America gets quality health care and get rid of Obamacare once and for all.
That sounds like an awesome task, and I think that we definitely would like to have you in the near future back on the show just to talk about the healthcare issue. It sounds like you're extremely well-versed in that area, and yes, it is very, very critical that we address that issue, get the premiums down, get the costs down so it could help the average American people and American worker. One of the other major things that are going on right now is Trump's been under a lot of pressure as a result with the tariff situation with China. And it appears that we might be getting involved in a trade war. What do you think about that situation? What ideas could you lend if you had the president's ear that might help facilitate a better deal, if you will, for the country?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that was a loaded question.
No, I love that. I love to dig into the meat of the issues. And I'll put a pin in this because I had said before that I have two innovative suggestions. This will make a third, but I'll stop back. The other one is developing a Constitution caucus, but I want to answer your question here now, and then perhaps we can get back to that other moment of innovation that I'd like to discuss. But in terms of the tariffs that we're looking at, I fully applaud President Trump. We as Americans and American manufacturers and the American goods have suffered hard under prior administrations that have allowed other countries to put tariffs on our goods, but there's nothing been reciprocal. And so when you look at, if I have the president's ear, for instance, and I know he's leaning in this direction, but I would like to take each sector segment by segment. So for example, when we look at the benefits, hopefully we can get the USMCA passed, and we can, you know, one of the gold nuggets in there for American dairy farmers is that we now have greater access to Canada, the market. And so when you look at tariffs sector by sector, what I'd like to beg the president for is look in the direction of which manufacturers and which business segments are now part of the tariffs that are being implemented. So let's look at Mexico, for example, this 5% tariff that could go up as high as 25% by October. That's primarily a lot of that is auto parts. So let's, you know, we're already getting billions of dollars in tariffs from China. President Trump has seen that initiative forward. Well, let's look at the sectors that can benefit from that. And it's a great win for our American Treasury, but let's also let the steel workers, for example, that are benefiting from that could benefit from the tariffs in China, or the auto parts manufacturers stand to benefit from the Mexican tariffs that will be imposed. Let's get them into the equation, benefit from the money that's coming into the kitty. I think when we look at it that way, the only pushback really is, well, there are two pushbacks, is that, you know, the manufacturers and the sectors could suffer, which I would argue that it's a short-term pain for a long-term gain. But even if that is the case, well, let's measure out some of the benefit that's coming in to alleviate some of that pain in the meantime. And then when we look at the American, you know, citizens who are, it's argued by the opponents that this is a tax on American citizens. Well, not if you buy American. You know, so it really pivots back to giving the benefit to the American workers, American manufacturers, and the American goods that have suffered for far too long. And I applaud the president for highlighting that, for making a difference. And even if we have to wait a little bit before we see the stress relieved, believe me, China is suffering right now. And there are a lot of there are a lot of companies moving out of that country as a result. And China may be saying that they can wait it out. I can guarantee you, from a business perspective, they're already sweating, and this is already working.
Thank you very, very much. That was very insightful. You've been extremely informative to the American people. Are there any other issues we've touched upon six or seven issues already for the American people? It's very difficult to talk about some issues as well because Trump is doing so well for the country on all indicators that, like you said, we need a mega majority to continue on this this journey of recovery for the American people. Is there anything that you would like to share with America on how they can reach out to you or your campaign to help and assist if they're interested in doing so?
Oh, absolutely, and I thank you for that opportunity. And, you know, as you mentioned, the MAGA majority is the focus. It's America's agenda that we have to move forward. And when we claim this seat, we claim a seat for all America. And I'll quickly add that, I mean, you know, look, it really took all America to reelect Ted Cruz to that U.S. Senate seat in Texas to solidify that and to maintain, hold line in Texas. Similarly, we can do this in New Jersey, and I want to add quickly on a data note that, you know, New Jersey has been presumed blue for so long and irretrievably so, but the data doesn't show that. My data showed as early as spring, and Gallup poll recently came out with a study, I think it was about 8 weeks ago, that confirmed that New Jersey has more conservatives than liberals. And, you know, when we look at why we've been blue, it's because of voter turnout, not because of voter demographics. But to reach all the constituents that we need to get out to claim this seat, which will help President Trump, to claim this seat for a MAGA majority, which will help all America, what we need boots on the ground, we need time, which I'm so thankful for you for giving us this, for giving us voice. This is your seat, America, and your voice. Whether you be from my great state of New Jersey or you be from one of the other states that will benefit from the policies that we can lead to change and to reinforce, it takes money. It takes, I like to say, the three T's. It takes either time, talent, or treasure. And, I am fully committed to this cause. And if we can pull together There is no question in my mind. We have the numbers. We can get there, but I need your support. And if you want to donate to my campaign, I have a direct PayPal link, but I also have a link right on my website, which is flanaganforsenate.org. And I'll spell that just because I know sometimes numbers are inserted for words. So I'm all words. It's Flanagan, F-L-A-N-A-G-A-N, for F-O-R, for Senate. So it's flanaganforsenate.org. And I'll give you an example. If every one of my Twitter followers, I have 12,500 Twitter followers right now. Please follow me on social media, by the way, at New Day for NJ on both Twitter and Facebook. But if every one of my Twitter followers would commit $50 per till the election, we'd have everything we need to take this seat. You know, we certainly welcome more, but even every donation, $10, $20, anything helps the cause. And look, at the end of the day, it's tax deductible. So either a failing government is going to failing government if President Trump doesn't get the congressional support that he needs. So it's either going to go to Uncle Sam, who can get better with electing MAGA senators, or you give it to a cause that you believe in. So I sure hope that you will find it in your heart and soul to help me to reclaim this seat and help all America.
Ms. Flanagan, we want to thank you very much for coming on our show and explaining to the American people your platform for America and for New Jersey. And we hope that you would consider coming on our show again in the near future to share more about your ideas, maybe in specificity of different issues to the American people. My name is Chauncey Brown. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is U.S. politics, this is U.S. national elections 2020, but we are talking about politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Today's guest was U.S. Senate candidate Tricia Flanagan out of New Jersey, talking about her ideas on how to continue making America great again. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning in, and please follow us on Facebook at U.S. National Elections 2020 for future updates. Have a blessed day, and may God bless you all.